Good morning. Today is Wednesday, September the 16th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Rex Bone. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. How is everybody today?
Better than yesterday, we all hope, right?
any luck at all.
Yeah, exactly. Winston, why do we say it?
Spitting image. Why do we call a very close resemblance the very spitting image?
Boy, I would imagine it has something to do with somebody that is within spitting distance, which means they are very close in characteristics or looks. So I would imagine it has something to do with spitting distance and coming into spitting image, meaning they're right next to you and look like you.
You came close to a home run and also way off course. The expression is a corruption of the earlier phrase, the very spit and image. It referred to two people so similar that even their spit was alike. The change to spitten came about from the general proclivity among boys, at least of an earlier generation, to try to spit like their fathers.
The old spittoon.
Well, and that's before they had TV, so they actually evaluated everybody's spit, I guess.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Okay, let's move on real quick. The county last week set up emergency out at the fairgrounds. Is that for some of the fire folks that were being evacuated or recommended to leave as residents impacted by the fire? How does that process happen?
It evolves on what the need is, and you know, the need, not knowing how great it was going to be, Red Cross, the Salvation Army, and then the county OES sets up basically an evac center. And as it was being set up, I spent a couple evenings out here as we got staffing up. And I have to do a shout-out for a group called Pay It Forward Humboldt. I've never seen a group of young ladies do so much. They go out, shop. We have people in hotels, and they're actually taking them meals. They have a system. They were taking stuff to Garberville, Willow Creek. And so I think it's headed up by Desiree Hadley. I see a lot of things, but these guys are pretty impressive. And the neat thing about it is they're all volunteers, so you're not paying an executive director, which I have nothing to do with. These big organizations have to. But this is a Pay It Forward Humboldt. This is homegrown at its best.
So as far as the mechanics, does either the chair or the CAO of the county or the sheriff go, okay, guys, we need it, and then things roll, in a normal process to open a facility to get everything all squared up so that they're ready to receive people?
We actually train for this. We have people in every department that are trained in crisis management, emergency evacuations. I mean, there is a certain amount of CERT training where they get some training. The sheriff's department, it doesn't carry the whole burden. Every department puts a couple people into this, and it's allowed, kind of like the way we've been running the JIC for the pandemic, and you know, training them to do track and trace and everything else. There's a lot of multifaceted and cross-training going on, and so then we're able to handle, let's say, the extreme needs of the people of Humboldt County when it happens, and it's not necessarily things that are in our normal wheelhouse. You know, it's not on the job classification, but, I mean, it does say you will be asked to do things outside of your normal scope of business at times, and this is one of the things. And, you know, they show up, and, I mean, it's strange hours. Sometimes it's 24-7. And then so this is run, and basically this is run through Ryan Derby through our Office of Emergency Services.
Was it and other responsibilities
under
as assigned?
Under guidance from Sheriff.
Yeah.
Yeah, under guidance from Sheriff Hansel, obviously.
Sure. Something like this, Rex, if it can fire up that quickly, does it take much time at the end when it gets shut down to get everybody out and to kind of have normalcy return, or is that part of this whole process also of training and the responsibilities of those folks that open it?
Well, and they, you know, they hotbox it afterwards. They all say, okay, what went good? What went bad? Where did we fall apart? You know, they'll say, well, hey, you know, we didn't realize that in Willow Creek, space heaters aren't that important at a resource center, but, you know, because it's 80 degrees at night or 75 degrees at night in September, but, or whatever. But in Ferndale, it could stay fairly chilly all day if the fog rolls in. So little things like that. How do we prepare? I mean, it took a day to get everything lined up, because it's so funny. We brought in cattle, sheep, horses, lots of horses, goats, but we had to make arrangements for dogs and cats. And so our animal control officers came and ran quite a bit of that. So it's a lot of moving parts, but like I said, our Office of Emergency Services, which are ready to react and up and running within an hour if we have an earthquake or a major disaster. This fire, they had nights where they were very fortunate, where they had calm weather and they were able. Then you have the other times when it flares up and worries everyone. Ooh, excuse me. They do a great job. It's pretty amazing because and right now we have a lot of people settled into the JIC doing the track and trace and selling for the COVID pandemic.
Right, just another layer on top of everything else that's going on.
Exactly. Everybody, said pray for rain, but I'm pretty sure we'd be pairing up animals 2x2 in 2 weeks the way things are going.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, as long as the Mattekin is still functional, we're okay, right?
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, gee. Some of the different challenges out there, I'm sure, were anticipated. So far, so good?
I think they've done everything pretty admirable, and again, it last week and it absolutely stuns me because the loss that we had last week and going, but it absolutely just amazes me the generosity of this community, the people, and we've learned from these other fires, this may not be the time for all the used clothing. I mean, some toys were good for the kids, but right now it's gift cards, cash, checks. To people like Pay It Forward and things like that, that are 501c3s, where you're able, at least if you're worried, to write it off, but you do get benefit for your donation, and then you're able to allow people to benefit and be able to get clothes and things like that.
Yeah, the flexibility. Yeah.
I mean, Jesse Claire from McDonald's was bringing lunch and dinner. 50 hamburgers and Happy Meals and breakfast sandwiches in the morning, like clockwork, and coffee.
Then he
brought in 4 extra pallets of water. Then he would stay for a few hours and help deliver them and talk to people and make sure they were doing okay.
Yeah, good.
And so
good stuff by everybody.
Good community partners and so many people just hundreds of emails and texts. What do you need? What can we bring? And things like that.
Perfect.
So,
yeah.
Working
together. I mean, that's kind of what we do. Yeah. KINS.
People helping people.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are Easy Radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bohm. Rex, one of the things you kind of touched on in the opening segment was the concept of the animals. A lot of times we don't think about ranch animals, farm animals. Maybe we think about the pets, but a lot of times they're jumping in the rigs with us as we go to the store anyway, so that's not an extraordinary thought process. How was it moving the commercial livestock? That sounds like it's a huge project.
Some of the guys just cut their fence wires and let their cattle go. They'll just, because they can. But there was loss of livestock. There was some major loss of livestock on a couple ranches up by Lone Pine and areas like that, which was devastating. I mean into the hundreds of heads. They just get trapped and they run into a gully or whatever. I don't know the circumstance exactly, but there was loss. A lot of this were people's personal horses and stuff like that. And most of the time they'll try to run them somewhere where they'll be safe. It's just hard to handle. I mean, if you've got if you've got a large amount of cattle, there's no cattle trucks available. They're going to be on their own and hope for the best. And they're animal. They seem to evolve and hopefully to the best. But when you're talking about their workhorses and their cattle dogs and everything else, they're pretty adamant about getting them out, getting them stored. A lot of the ranches in the Ferndale Valley, I mean, a lot of ranches. A lot of Russes, Rices, the whole alphabet of ranches down here in the valley, who also have probably up there, haven't opened up their gates and says just put them in our field, put them in our field. I mean, because that's I mean, these are legacy families that have been here forever, and some of them are newer families, but they open their arms and everybody reaches out, just kind of like the old country gatherings, you know, when they're doing brandings. Everybody helps this guy, and then you go to the next ranch, and you go to the next ranch. Well, they're doing the same thing, opening their fields so they can store some of their animals, you know, that they could get moved out. So that is the availability to them also. So it's just, it goes from one end to the other of people helping people. It's just on all avenues.
So it sounds to me like it's neighbors rather than FEMA or anybody like that. Is there some assistance that's anticipated by those folks, or is that kind of afterwards and everybody's safe? That's where they come into play.
Well, I think your Red Cross, your Salvation Army, they've both been, they're at a lot of the sites. They're bringing food. They're doing distribution. They're helping. Red Cross is helping people with children get motel rooms, and those are like hen's teeth. Those were like hen's teeth. Just trying to facilitate people. That, I mean, because a lot of people are showing up with their cars packed to the gills because they've been told to evacuate, and that's all they got. So, you know, for some of these people, and they've got kids, and I mean, you know how hard it is to have a bunch of kids in a house, and now you figure out I got a bunch of kids in a car.
Right.
This is home right now. I mean, because people car camping. But I mean, Bear River opened up an evacuation center, full blown meals, showers, camping, cots, and things like that. So when a member of our community like the Bear River Tribe steps up, I think that's just it's so admirable, and it's just it's easy to say love Humboldt when everybody steps up like this. Nobody says no.
So what do you think? You know, if it's a short impact period, that's one aspect. What if this thing is as prolonged as what some of the fire pros are indicating? That, you know, we're still talking September. Normally, this is. Their concern is down into October, early November.
A lot of this is not going to be out until it rains.
So how do we...
A lot of these fires will be contained, but the interior will still be burning till they actually get, till it rains. And so then you're always under the threat and the fear of weather conditions and basically high winds starting to push it and embers and things like that.
That's what I was kind of alluding to. You know, we've got the evacuation or the notice, currently, but could that extend for 2 or 3 months? And if that's the play, what does that look like?
I imagine there are concerns, and I imagine they traffic that in their fire patterns, and I know that they plan for that, the longevity of it, and in fighting them, that's why they're trying to build bigger fire lines and make this work to their best benefit. It absolutely amazes me, Cal Fire, how fluid they are when they get to work, the volunteers, how well they work. It's just, it is quite a team that gets together. And the United States Forest Service, when they all get on the same page and start making it happen, it's quite a deal. And it's what can save communities, so...
Yeah, that whole effort, and I suppose that, you know, a lot of us, we don't see that training that goes on. Either it's at a facility that's out of sight, or it's a tabletop exercise in a conference room somewhere. But when these guys get out there and really do it, it really is kind of it's more than impressive, because they've also got the pressure of the community standards and everybody wanting to be addressed in their situations taken care of immediately.
Exactly. We hear about it at the 10,000-foot level. We will see all the Cal Fire trucks. I know a lot of times they'll be at the Elks, and there'll be 75 Cal Fire trucks there, and they'll be doing, like you said, the tabletops, the actuals, the on the ground, and they apply it to our terrain, our mountains, our you know, this could go here, this will go here if the wind goes here. What roads are not decommissioned, where you can go in and fight it. And the other thing is I'm sure, as everybody knows, that the fire, as they go in to fight a fire, they also have to have a couple rays to get out of the fire if the weather gets bad, to retreat. So as these things go, you can never say overly trained. They are so highly trained to handle all sets of examples to protect, you know, it comes down to life, property, and environment. And that's, you know, and I know life was number one and property, environment are paired up, but they do such an amazing job, all of these fire services. And with that being said, you cannot downplay what the volunteers have done, because, you know.
Right, right. And we'll, let's talk about that one after we come back from the break. It's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're on board with Rex Bone this morning. Rexy's out in the field. What a shocker. But this time, at least, you know what field you're in, right?
That's true.
Okay, good. It's a good day. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, Redec, Humble Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets in Baywood. Rex, the volunteerism. You had mentioned, Billy Reynolds last Friday had mentioned the volunteer fire departments that are out there. And these are the guys that are kind of benefiting, to a certain extent, from the Measure Z, or whatever it's called these days, monies to help out in causes like this. How have they been performing, the volunteers, either the fire folks or just community volunteers?
Well, I mean, I'm sitting here, and I was averaging no less than 100 texts or calls a day. What do you need? And I could, I every local business. And like I mentioned, Jesse, earlier, Redwood Capital Bank has called. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. What do you need? We want to help. What do you need? We want to help. And it's not that they feel like they want to help. It's just affecting their friends, too, because everybody knows somebody that lives out Willow Creek, Alder Point. I mean, I name off 100 areas that live in the outskirts. They all feel it. And like I've always said, with all of these, the fundraisers I do, the cancer, all of them, sometimes when they're disaster relief fundraisers, people want to help people, but they also want, it's their way of paying tithes, saying, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. So I want to help others that did get, you know, and that's the community. But I always tell people, I met the new lieutenant from the Salvation Army. He's only been here like 6 weeks. And I said, you're going to love this community. They don't know how to stop giving. I think it's part of our, it's in our DNA. If you're in Humboldt, you need to support the nonprofits. And I don't think, you know, our volunteer fire departments, they have got guys going left and right out there doing things and helping. And usually what they do, they do wildland firefighting, and they're set up for it. But a lot of times what they'll do is they'll stage them at structures. And CAL FIRE will go out and do wildland, and these guys will do structure protection and some line fires and things like that. But it's over the top. And then also our paid guys, Humboldt Bay Fire was out in force. And while still keeping our urban areas safe, they were out in the rural area stepping up. So it absolutely amazes me. I can't say it enough. I kind of get redundant about how much the community is doing their part.
You know, if folks do want to help and they either haven't had the opportunity or haven't thought about it, or they've been in a scramble mode personally, so they haven't really come up for air. Is there a clearinghouse? You know, in the old days there was United Way, but now that's out of Napa or Santa Rosa or wherever that's out of. Where do you go to make those kinds of contacts or to find out what somebody's needs are? If it's money or the credit cards, okay, fine, that's easy enough. But who do you give them to?
Well, you know, sometime in there, you just got to look around and open up. Now, like I said, this group, this Pay It Forward Humboldt, run by these volunteers, is great. And a lot of people like to give to a group that has helped them. And so it might be somebody like Red Cross or Salvation Army. Or, I mean, I know the and then in times when we actually get to those points where we don't have anything, you'll see a lot of people doing, you see it all the time, that help Brian at the rescue mission or Betty or their church, and the churches step up and distribute. But, I mean, there are so many good causes. It's just kind of, sometimes it's just reaching down inside and says, who do you trust? You know, who do you feel is doing the job and things like that. And so, and at times like this, if you look around, you can see the ones that are doing the job.
Right. Well, and hopefully we're not seeing it like across the street from where we are. It's a little bit more distant than, you know, helping us
exactly.
out.
Exactly. And that's it. I mean, at the end of the day, the people that help, you got to remember all these areas that are under, you know, the Garberville, the Willow Creeks and everything else, that's where we all go to recreate. So this is, you know, this is a Pay It Forward to thank you for letting us come. I mean, we're in a lot of people's front yard recreating. You know, this is their yard. It's just like if everybody came to our yard and played type of deal. So, but that's also how they pay their bills, is by us going over it and taking advantages of their beautiful scenery that's allowed to us in Humboldt.
Yeah, so pretty much, yeah, donate to those that you trust.
I could go on and on about who I give to, but I don't want to slight anybody. There's a lot of good organizations out there.
Well, that's
call
what
me, I'll tell you the ones I would. Call me, I'll tell you the ones I wouldn't give to.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's one of the cool things too. Maybe it's only twice removed, but everybody pretty much knows who the good guys are, one way or the other. So if you know somebody,
or they know somebody to ask, because that's what people are doing. They're, you know, and you find somebody you trust and say, hey, what do you need?
Right, exactly. So, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:41.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, the concept of islanding prior to the last three or four weeks was more associated with power. You know, we haven't dealt with, in a large portion of the population, the PG&E cutouts. We think about earthquakes. We think about floods. We don't think about fire necessarily. But certainly I would think that now the definition of islanding and the planning for that is going to include what we're dealing with right now. Do you see that would have any significant change in the approach and the planning?
Yeah, and that's been addressed a lot here, you know, even before this. There's been a lot of planning because you got to remember at one time we had 199, 101 both closed. And 299, you got to remember, it's closed for fires more than the other two. So, you know, 101 closed for fire was something new for everybody. But you did mention something about the power. You realize we're running, you know, we've been running. We had a elongated period where we ran off our local power plant. And I would be so remiss if I didn't thank Andrew Vesey, the president of PG&E and PG&E Power, and who came up here last December and promised us he was going to, you know, from a letter Sheriff Hansel and I had asked him, he came up here and brought his whole staff and said, we will be able to island, and tested in May, and we've been island, you know, we started islanding, we're on, you know, we were, I don't know how many days we've been islanding, and we are islanding, and it was seamless. Nobody even, you know, except for a few news articles, nobody even realizes it. And I'd be hate to be going through what we're going through and having the power, and 90%, 85% of the county has been able to be powered up. And it's because of Carl Schoenefer, the general manager, Allison Talbot, our government relations, stand on top of it. But more than anything, the Humboldt Bay Generating Station, their engineers and their crew, They worked extra hours, the linemen checking and everything else when they tested. It has been a major, major benefit to Humboldt County because we have had power. And it was always promised, but we were also going to look like we had a dozen eggs on our face if it didn't, if something glitched, and it has ran. We are so fortunate.
One of the things, and we've discussed it in the past also with the past floods, we always seem to be able to have food stored and the basics here, and certainly with the virus settings, that dynamic a little bit also, but have we learned? Are we more product in the area so that we can last longer, or is that still something that we need to really address after things calm down a little bit?
Well, I can remember 50 years ago, I mean, I was raised in a grocery store, so, I mean, grocery stores were built with huge back rooms. And some exec says, hey, you guys, we don't need a big back room. I mean, for God's sakes, that's retail area. And then we went to computers and everything is, you know, scanned. And so, you know, we sell 36 cans of corn. They put 36 cans of corn on a truck and ship it up here and restock day to day. So we don't where we used to. And we have like a market wholesale food distribution company that warehoused here. We don't have companies called out of Ford, Sac Bay Area, things like that. So do we have a large backstop? No. And every time there's an emergency, human nature makes it. I mean, human nature needs us to, you know, if we're going to road closed, we better have 2 months worth of toilet paper, ice, and batteries.
Well, don't forget ketchup. I mean,
so that becomes an issue. If we could control our, we would never have these run that we have, but it's just nature. So with that being said, we've got better at rerouting our stuff, dropping trailers in Redding and having somebody else bring them over so they don't run hours. We've got a lot better at it, and that's been a great advantage. So with that being said, the stores are handling it better. We've had more of these recently than, you know, and I don't know if we've had more of them. I mean, you know, I'm old enough where I remember the 64 flood. Everything was, I remember the 64 flood, the one thing you couldn't get when all the roads were closed because they were flying in our food. It was potato chips because they took up too much room and didn't weigh enough. I do remember that. Fresh fruit was tough to come by. Canned goods and things like that. So there was because the roads were closed. Right. I mean, you've seen the high water marks. I mean,
oh yeah.
So
yeah.
it was a tough time, and that's, you know, and then they opened the Lifeline up. So
well, maybe that's an area that we can focus on once it does get back to sane times, is to have some kind of a central food warehouse somewhere in the county so we don't experience quite all those challenges in those runs. Hey, bud, keep it up, okay?
Thanks, you guys. Have everybody be safe.
All righty, hang in there. See everybody tomorrow.